Hello, I'm Tara Ruckman.
And I'm Stephanie Howe, and we are Control the Chaos EDU. Are you burnt out? Are you feeling frustrated or overwhelmed?
Or maybe it's the opposite, and you're a go-getter and want to level up. Then it's time to dive in with real talk and solution-focused conversations.
Hello and welcome to today's Control the Chaos conversation. We're going to be talking about a fun end of year activity that you could use with your students. So again, this is a part of our end of year series. And today we're going to talk about how your students can become summer travel agents. And I know that sometimes leading up to the end after testing, you know, they've got spring fever, you know, your students are excited, you're excited. And there's just a lot more energy, it felt like, at the end of the year. But also at the end of the year, it brought in some time for you to do some fun projects or connect with your students. So with this summer travel agent project, you're going to be able to really have your students think about what weekend adventure trip they want to take. And this will not only just help with this end of year activity, but also provide students with like a bucket list or ideas that they can implement throughout the summer while they're off. And you can maybe check in with your students next school year, or maybe they can send you emails of their adventures throughout the summer.
Yeah, so I love this because this is adaptable in so many ways too. As we get going, we can talk about, you know, this is kind of more like a middle level activity that we're sharing today, but it can be adapted to elementary and it can be adapted to high school. So, or junior high even. So when you think about this, think about it in terms of overall. If you're listening and you're an elementary teacher and you're like, no, that's not going to work for my class, just find ways to adapt it to bring that grade level piece into your classroom. So the first thing we want to do is think about a weekend adventure trip. What would we want to do on a weekend? What kind of activities do we want to plan? I also want to take note, you know, thinking about when we're doing this, you know, once we get into the estimated cost, we want to give students that thought of trying to do things, you know, without money. Doesn't always have to involve money. Right? When we're thinking about what activities that you can do, I mean, what kind of parks are there? Metro parks, nature reserves, things that might not necessarily cost a whole lot of money. That way we know when we're talking about this, we're thinking about all the kids in the classroom. Some kids can go on lavish vacations with their families, and some students can't. So this is just that weekend that their parents are off and they're around the house. What activities can they do when they start branching out and going in their local area?
Yeah. So once they research that local area and they have to then provide estimated costs. Again, you want to maybe give them a budget of very small, because we want this to be almost free, right? And the things that they might need to think about is, okay, if we're going to that local park, can we pack a lunch? Maybe we can, you know, do this or have a picnic. And so getting students to think outside the box where, okay, we want to keep the cost low. So what activities and what things can we do that will keep that cost low so that students they can do these activities without having to go to their parents and asking for hundreds of dollars. So if they're able to say, hey, I want to have explore this local park, I'm going to pack our lunch, there's going to be a scavenger hunt, they are able then to estimate those costs. Okay, well, lunch will probably cost this much, right? And this is how much like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich costs. And then with the scavenger hunt, I'm just going to use things around so it's free. And so again, getting students to think like that, so then they can reuse these activities throughout the summer.
Or maybe I can even bring my bike, right? A bike that I already have. And maybe the park that we're going to has bike trails. And we can ride along some different bike trails and see different metro parks that way. Or maybe Maybe I don't have a car that that can carry enough bikes. So maybe I'm looking at roller skates or skateboards or rollerblades, things that maybe I might already have in the classroom. Maybe I'm packing just like a little activities box that has jump ropes or chalk to write on sidewalks. Or maybe I'm packing a couple extra pieces of bread because I know I'm going to a park that has lots of ducks so that I can feed the animals. And we know that that will keep costs down, right? And that's an activity that we can do with our kids. Or maybe we're going to a lake and we have some fishing poles. Like, just think about Buckeye Lake. It costs you $0 to go to Buckeye Lake and get on their bike trail. I roller skate there, but you can get on their bike trail. You can fish right there. You can pack your lunch right on the trail. There is an ice cream place. So, you know, having them research places like that to think about all the fun that they can have in our local Ohio area that can help keep the cost down. And the reason why we want to keep that local cost down, I mentioned it earlier, is that, you know, parents are typically planning the big trips, right? If they have a big trip. But this is something that a student could ask their parents to go and do that doesn't cost a lot of money. Because how many people, how many of us have had kids when they're like, let's go to Kings Island, let's go to Cedar Point, let's go to the zoo. And we all know that there's not money to do that every single weekend. So where are the places that they can research to go that they may get a yes out of their parents to go to have their parents drive them to, that is cost effective? Giving them those ideas and sharing those ideas out, I think, could really help them keep a busier summer and more interactive summer with their families.
Yeah, and you could also encourage your students to pull up the local area newsletter or parks. I know that in Ohio, they provide ideas and events that are happening with certain dates and if it's free or if it's a certain cost. So maybe allow your students to also take part in some research. That's a great skill for them to be able to kind of do and go in and, okay, this event, you know, is free and it's on this date. So then they can create their weekend adventure trip around that date that's actually really happening. And again, there's a lot of different websites where you're able to kind of pull that information to see. Like, I know with some of our parks, like there's fishing, there's sometimes they will do certain hikes together and that kind of stuff. So that could also be a really fun activity as well. And then think about the time, right? We need to have students provide that estimated time range. So how long does it take to travel to that local park or that local activity? How much time in between activities are going to be needed? And then how much time will it take to eat if they are eating? And so getting students to really think about, okay, this is going to be the estimated time for this activity, will help them with some math skills, but then also just being working on some of those planning and prioritizing skills as well when it comes to executive functioning.
Yeah, I love that you're thinking about executive functioning in the summer, because, you know, not many people are thinking about executive functioning in the summer, right? But I think that's so great that we're continuing to work on those skills, because those are the life skills. You know, those are the life skills that we really use from here up. I can tell you that I don't remember anything in my sixth grade social studies class what was taught to me, but I bet those executive functioning skills that I was learning to plan, learning to type, because back then we had, you know, our typing probably didn't actually might have not even started in fifth or sixth grade. It might have not been till seventh grade. But, you know, those organization skills that we continue to use throughout our lives. So great to always think about those things when we're talking about planning an activity and what the way we can integrate those executive functioning skills. Thinking about what we need to pack and how we need to promote and market the package as well. You know, so this could be when we start thinking about the promotion and marketing, it could be that they're launching a campaign to their parents, right? Because their parents are the ones that are going to be driving them, or their grandma or their grandpa or their parents at home, their foster parents, the adult at home. Maybe it's a daycare, in-home daycare or babysitter that they go to each day. So how are they going to market their promotion or promote to their friends? How are they going to share it out and campaign to their classmates that this is a great trip? How are they going to campaign to their adult at home that this is a great trip to go to? You know, I think it's all about the way we package it sometimes. Sometimes we can look and we can present something and we say it in the wrong way. And somebody's like, no, we're not going to do that. But if somebody presents a really long, strong case of why they want to go on this adventure and how cost effective it is and how much fun they're going to have, you might have the parent that will be like, yeah, let's do that. Let's get that on the calendar. Let's go for that this weekend. Or I have a day off and we'll do that on our day off. So marketing it to our friends, for this is an adventure trip they want to participate, and then and giving them ideas, and then marketing it to families. And really, if you really want to go further and you want to extend the activity, you can talk about how can you market this. If you were a marketer, how would you market it to the community? Would it go in the newspaper? Would it go in a radio ad? Would there be Facebook ads? How would you get the word out there if you were really launching a campaign of your adventure trip to outside people other than your family and your classmates?
Yeah, I love that idea of the marketing, because again, it takes it to that next level. This can be the extension part where students are now trying to figure out how do I launch this campaign and how do I get people excited about going to the park and having a picnic, right? How do I make maybe using technology, some ads or some ways to kind of explain it. And then peer feedback. So now students will share their promotions, their marketing with the community. So either the class community, maybe you have the students go to younger students and pitch an idea. Maybe they start to share this and they're going to start getting peer feedback. You could also share this with the community and kind of share, hey, here's some ideas, you know, maybe you can work with a local park and maybe they can advertise some of these student projects. So think about how can you involve the community? How can you involve that peer feedback? And then maybe you're able to have the students create like a list of a bucket list of which activities based on what they saw from those marketing campaigns they want to actually do. And then maybe they can share those lists with their parents and say, okay, on this date, I want to do this activity. And then I want to do this. Or maybe they can meet some of their classmates and do, again, some of these activities for a fun summer activity where they're, again, connecting with other students, but maybe they're also connecting with their families. And again, it would be really cool if the community could be involved and spotlight some of these projects and marketing ideas to share on maybe social media or to share on their local websites.
Yeah, I love the idea of making a list, except I am going to say I need to make an adventure list, because we're doing adventure trips, right? And we want to do this to live, not to die. So that's just my personal thing that I can't say bucket list. And that's just because of my personal cancer right now. So we'll call it an adventure list for my kiddos in the classroom, even though all of them probably know what a bucket list is. We have to retrain that positive language. What are some of the roadblocks, though, when we get into really talking about this? How can we modify it for younger students and how can we modify it for older students? So number one is money, right? That is our biggest roadblock. So when you think about our younger students, the roadblock for our younger students would be money, because they don't really have that full concept of money yet. So when we're thinking about planning these trips, they don't really know how much things cost yet. So a way we could get around that with younger kids is maybe we could give them, reduce the amount of choices that maybe they research, and give them kind of a head start on that. That like I give them five choices of places that they can research, or maybe, you know, you have a big class, so maybe you have 10 choices of what you can research versus just giving them a general, you can research all local Ohio things, because that might be very overwhelming for students. And they might, that's when you might get the like Cedar Points and Kings Island and those expensive type trips that will not be, all kids won't be able to go to something like that. So money for younger students could be a challenge when you talk about the estimating the cost. So that's one way to get around that roadblock. And then how can you modify this for older students? Again, money becomes the roadblock. And I don't know if I have older kids now. So the way I would see it is the things they like to do often cost more money, right? Like my son wants to go to the golf course, or he wants to play top or go to Top Golf. And play a game and eat dinner, or maybe they want to go paintballing or go to the amusement parks. So by the time you get older, the things they want to do usually tend to cost additional money. So again, money could be a roadblock for when you modify this activity for older students. But having said that, then it becomes a real challenge, the activity, for older kids, when we try to think about the cost and giving them a budget of what they can spend. So then they really have to dig a little deeper to find something that really would apply to their likes, right? You know, you might have some students that would love to go on a bike path and hiking or whatever you may find that they like to do, but there are some students that aren't into that. So, you know, really like honing in on the activities that they enjoy to be able to find something that is cost effective for them.
Yeah. And I think too, when students are just trying to think about, you know, money and the activities, they're really working on a lot of different skills, especially with those executive functioning skills. And then one other thing that you might want to consider is making copies. Are you able to make a copy or share like a class website or something that the students will be able to take home and share with their adults? So if they're able to kind of, you know, create or have all of these different ads and promotions on a website or even copy and send them home, maybe they can do those activities with their parents and they can plan out their summer so that they have a fun and adventurous summer. And again, they're using activities that their classmates created, which is really cool.
Yeah, I love that idea. Just, you know, or you could put it in almost like a little folder for them. If you made copies of multiple things, you know, multiple kids' projects for them to be able to take home. Or those, have you ever seen, what are those plastic sheets that usually have the little binders on the end? That could be a fun way to bind them as well and have them take a little book home of adventure weekends. So lots of good ways. I mean, it could be a simple staple too. We don't have to go crazy either. We can just make them a little packet of an adventure weekend. And if you really want to extend the activity too, you could have them have a little contest to make a cover and a back of what the adventure weekend would look like. And then students could vote on what is the cover and what is the back going to look like. And let's put those together and make a little book out of it to send it home to parents to have them bring it home to their parents to look at and to revisit throughout the summer. So that's just a little extension of the activity. If you have time, you know, having, or they, or if you don't want to have a contest with the cover, they could all make their own covers. And that way, when they get their copies, they can put their own cover on it and take it home to their families. So that's the adventure weekends. Find your activity, do some local research, estimate the cost, you know, keeping in mind that time range and travel, and those executive functioning skills. What are we looking at for promotion, marketing, packing, peer feedback, and making sure that we really identify and help problem solve those roadblocks. Make some copies and take it home to families. That is, in a nutshell, our adventure weekend. So becoming a summer travel agent, get all of our students thinking about summer and excited and trying to stay active and out, what should I say, not in front of the video games all summer long, thinking about those things that they can do outside and be active and have that movement on. So there's where we're going to get started for your epic summer series. Until next time, control the chaos.
Thanks for listening to Control the Chaos EDU. Check out the description for show notes.
We look forward to connecting with you on social media. Subscribe to the weekly podcast so you never miss an episode. Control the chaos. Until next time.